Welcome to Season 2 of Dead Tribe Paranormal with hosts John Sharena and Kelly Gilbert. Produced by Dan Gilman. You can listen to our show on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and our website at echopodmedia.com. Also visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Please leave us a rating and review on iTunes. Do you have a story that you'd like to share? If so, you can email me at DannyEcho@echopodmedia.com. This is EchoPod Media.
Thanks for listening to Dead Tribe Paranormal. I'm Kelly.
And I'm John.
And tonight we are talking to a few girls who have made quite a name for themselves in the paranormal field, and they're only getting bigger. It's Emily, Gina, and Christy of Three Girls in the Dark. Yay! Hi. How you guys doing tonight?
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much for coming on.
Well, thanks for having us.
So that was our in-studio audience.
Ah, nice. Yeah.
All right, the same old boring question to start an interview. I'm sure you've gotten it before. How did you guys actually get started, or what got you interested in the paranormal?
That's a long story. Yeah, but go for it. You can start it off.
Well, I'll start off with as a child, I grew up with a normal childhood. I had friends. I played sports. I did the normal thing, but I always had this dark, weirdo inside of me.
This is Emily talking, by the way. Just so.
No.
I always wanted to explore my creek behind my house to look for dead bodies. So there was always just that urge for weird in me. And I could never really express it because it just wasn't accepted. And, I always loved horror movies. I always loved anything paranormal, anything creepy and scary. And Gina and I had actually went to college together. And we reconnected a few years after graduating through Facebook. And one day she had posted that she was going on a paranormal investigation and asked if anyone wanted to go, and I was like, hell yeah.
She said yes.
I said yes. So that's kind of how we got married in the paranormal. And then we ended up bringing Christy along about a year later, and that's when the three of us formed, joined forces. But I think collectively have been in the field for about, I would say 15 years, just collectively.
Yeah, the team's been together three, but yeah. I had experiences when I was very young, and my actual first real ghost tour, ghost hunt, whatever you want to call it, my mom took me when I was 15. So I've had a natural curiosity for it for a long time. And like Emily said, we kind of reconnected about a year or so after college, because I said, does anybody want to go on one of these things with me? And eventually, the tours are great, but we really wanted to do things our way, and we didn't want anyone else around or involved, because on the tours you would have a mom bringing her kids, and they'd be humming and eating snacks,
and then you have the asshole teenagers that are
so we were okay, we're gonna make this legit and do it our way, and we needed some extra help, so we brought on a third, and the rest is history.
At 15 you went on a ghost tour?
Yeah, my mom said, what do you want to do for Halloween?
Oh,
and
gosh.
I told my parents, she goes, we're about 20 minutes from Alton, so I don't know if you guys know about Alton.
Oh, yes.
You know, it's like Vegas of the paranormal. You can bar hop from haunted location to haunted location. Yeah. So there's a thing out there called Antoinette's Haunted Tours, right? And my mom's like, do you want to do that? And I was like, yes, I want to do that. So she took me when I was 15, and I was like, wait, there's equipment and people do this for real. And then that really got the ball rolling, because then I was like, oh, wow, you can actually do this. Because back then, you had unsolved mysteries. You didn't have.
Mm-hmm. Just The music alone on that show was a little...
Yeah, so... that was, like, a TV show of choice, so that really kind of got the ball rolling for me, and, like, when we reconnected and made the team our own, then that was when we really got to do things the way we wanted to do them.
And I had actually gone on a tour in the same city, but not the same tour. I did Troy Taylor's tour, which is basically the same thing. We probably went to the same locations, but it wasn't the same. It wasn't hosted by, like, the same person. Yeah. But I did that, I would say. Well, that was, like, back in 2007. So it was about 10 years ago that I had done my first actual tour. And I did a couple tours for a couple years in a row because I just loved it so much.
Yeah, they did the same thing.
But then whenever I realized that I wanted to be more serious about it than the other 30 people that are on the tour, and I didn't want the contamination, you know, we were bringing VP recorders, trying to actually pick up something real. That's kind of impossible whenever you do a tour, in my mind. I know some people have been able to gather evidence on tours, but I would rather there be three of us and that's it, and we're investigating in the place alone, and too much contamination for my life.
So where did Christy, your third, come into play?
I've always kind of been interested, like Emily, I was always kind of interested in scary stuff when I was little, and I was kind of like the odd one in the family that was kind of into that. So I was just kind of interested in that.
Yeah, through some mutual friends and social media, we kind of put out a post looking for someone, and we had a few people interested, and we kind of, you know, we sat down with them, and I don't want to say interview them, but kind of met with them. And
we did interview. We kind of grilled her a little bit. We grilled her, and we grilled our case manager, and we brought them on as...
We took both of them.
Interns. Well, yeah, they were brought on as interns because we had been so backed up with, like, our review that we needed help. So we brought on interns, and we were like, you know, you're not going to get paid, but you can at least get experience. And
in this non-company of ours.
Yeah. No one gets paid.
No,
so,
obviously, yeah.
If you just want to get creeped out, come on over.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. they loved it, and we ended up loving them both, so we decided to bring them both on the team as regulars, and now Shauna is our case manager, and Christy is our third.
Do you guys hear that? Go ahead and clap.
Amazing story. And then you guys have one guy on the team too, right, Jeff?
Actually, we have two now.
We have a newbie.
That destroys the whole name.
They're a crew.
They aren't actual investigators. However, we do throw them to the wolves occasionally whenever we want to switch things up. But technically, the three of us are the main investigators, and then we have a crew. We've got Shauna, our case manager, and she usually sits at base camp. She's our base camp bitch, and she kind of like she oversees all of base camp. And then we have Jeffy, who is our tech guy, and he also is our EVP specialist, who he'll go in and edit the EVPs for us. Mm-hmm. And then we just now brought on Ryan, our noob, which he won a spot on the Velisca case with us.
Oh, really?
Just to come as like an outsider and something different, and he's never been into the paranormal prior to this. And we fell in love with him, and we were like, we're finding a spot to you. We are making you a part of the team.
He's like, but I'm not into it. No, you're staying.
Oh, no, he's 100% into it.
Is he, like, hot or something? Or
like... He does awesome research, though. I mean, he's even really, though it really wasn't, thorough. Yeah, we didn't make him do it. He really, like, went far. Yeah.
He actually surprised us because the car ride down, it was me and Gina and Ryan, and we were like, Ryan, are you excited? And he was like, well, this and this and this happened here, and then this person was the one who had this happen, and I was like, well, shit, okay. And we realized how thorough he was, and we were like, okay, if we're going to bring him on the team, this is what he's going to do. Yeah. So he's our research specialist now. And he also sits at base camp with Jeff and Shauna.
Yeah.
We now have two base camp bitches.
There you go. So, do you guys know any of the tech stuff too? Because, like, with all ghost hunting groups, like now, like we all categorize. You know, it's this, that. But I mean, you know, if somebody can't make it, you kind of want to.
We definitely know how to use our equipment, and we definitely have ideas. But I think as far as like building it and tearing it, like taking it apart and stuff like that, we kind of leave that up to Jeff.
Yeah.
He kind of specializes in that for our team. Yeah. But I mean, we all set up our equipment and we tear it down, and we definitely know how to use it. But you know, I can't pull apart, you know, a Ring Pod and put it together.
Yeah, like, on off record pause. That's good. You're on.
Light up, touch it. Okay, we're good. All right.
Yeah. I know that the REM pod puts out a field, and if something breaks the field, that's what makes it go off, and that's about as technical as I can go with that device. I mean, other than that, Jeffy is our tech guy for sure.
So what equipment do you use and what don't you? Are there certain ones that you're just like, oh my God, I hate this thing?
I'll take that one. I have a lot.
Just so you know, we're very honest people. Right? Yeah. We will go there.
No way. No way would I get that from you guys so far.
I have a love-hate relationship with the ovulus. Reason being is, well, the ovulus 3 is the device that we have. And it will occasionally spit out a word that is relevant. Occasionally. But in 100 words, you get one relevant word. And in the other 100 words, you hear it every location you go to. Right. You hear Pluto. You hear foliage. You hear tree. You hear gym. You hear demon. You
we
hear
get paranormal. Gym all the time. I'm like, yes. Who is Jim?
There is a dead Jim in every goddamn location.
Wait, it works on the TV shows.
Oh, right.
Yeah. What?
Crazy.
That's crazy.
I'd be like, bitch, you better not be telling me to go to the gym. Like, yeah. What are you saying? Yeah, so the ovulus, that's the one that has all the pre-recorded words in it and then, like, certain frequencies.
I have a love-hate for it because there has been one time where it has actually spit out an Italian word.
That was really weird.
And we were in an Italian neighborhood in St. Louis, and the man who originally built the home was a 100% Italian man. And the fact that this ovulus spit out an Italian word, we were like, well, I didn't even know it had that in its
I didn't vocabulary. Know it could do
like,
that.
I didn't know that it had Italian words, and I don't know if it does. But it spit that out, and we were like, holy shit, that's actually pretty crazy. So there's still hope for it, but I usually get angry and turn it off.
If you do believe in paranormal, I mean, a spirit can manipulate anything if it really wanted to. So, I mean,
I think the thing that confuses people about the ovulus is, like, how does a spirit know what word it's choosing when it puts its energy into That's where I think people are confused and where I guess I would be confused at the same time. But it's like, if we figure out that the spirit is putting a certain amount of energy in and it says the word foliage, we need to understand what it's trying to say when it says foliage. Right. You know what I'm saying? Because it does say a lot of the same words over and over again. So if that is a spirit coming through, what are they trying to tell us?
Well, my question would be, why is it only always one word?
I don't know.
Like, true.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I feel the same way you do about the ovulus. That's why I had it for 6 months and then I got rid of it.
Rid of it. We haven't done that yet. I think we're going to keep it. Like I said, there's still that hope there that those one or two words per location that are actually relevant. So we're like, okay, you know, but we don't break it out every investigation. Well, yeah, we paid $300 for that.
Excellent reason to keep it around.
We don't pay for what we do, so it's obviously out of pocket. So if we're going to spend that kind of money, we're going to use it. But it doesn't get broken out on every investigation. It doesn't get used for 8 hours. So, I mean, you know, we kind of play around with it here and there.
It's like the, like, equipment and equivalent of, like, our goal jeans. Like, I'm going to wear these jeans again. It's like, this is going to work eventually. I'm going to figure it out. This doesn't fit our purposes by May, then we're really bringing it to Goodwill. So.
I would say, probably my favorite, I don't know if you guys use it, is a spirit box. The SB7.
Yeah, we have two of them.
Oh, you do? Is that the one you use, the SB7?
We have both of them. Well, okay, so there's kind of a weird situation with that, too, because we have used the 7 for several years, and we love the 7. I mean, it's produced a lot of evidence for us, and then sometimes it'll be a dud. You know, nothing will come through, which doesn't mean anything on the device. It just means nothing's coming through. However, since we've had the 11, we have not had any evidence come through on it at all.
Yeah, the 11 has not done much for us.
I don't know if it has something to do with the way the device is made or how that works.
Don't say that. We're going to be interviewing the guy that makes those. Shh.
Maybe.
Edit that out.
Out of my mouth. Here he is now.
he's only right down the road. You guys got to come down.
Well... Well, that's just been us, our team.
You need to come all the way to Connecticut to be like, I don't like your device.
We haven't gonna go great. Yet. Well, I was going to say was I actually know other people that have had evidence come through on the 11. We just personally haven't had anything yet. And we've had it for over a year, I think.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is trying to get the evidence off of it, right, with all the
Yeah.
It's crazy. Well, you guys don't do it. Don't act like it's hard. You got your tech guy doing it.
No.
Oh, wait.
Hey, now.
I handle everything. Yeah. I handle all of the audio files, all of the videos, all of the DVR system situations, anything that has to do with evidence or files,
yeah.
I do that.
It's Emily's our boss. We call her mom. She takes care of all of us. So she has a lot of the responsibilities. So she's a boss. She handles a lot of that stuff. She makes sure that we got all of our snacks and we're in the car and
everybody's
ready to go.
Everybody's got their seatbelts on. Yeah. We have our directions and we're arriving on time. Mm-hmm. I have all that. I'll have my shit together. I'm the organized one.
Yeah.
I have all the equipment myself. I keep all the equipment. I keep all the DVR system stuff. I keep everything myself. Mm-hmm. This would be Dad. Dad and Mom.
Yes.
Do this a lot.
Whoa. Kids listen to this show, guys.
I don't think that's what we were referring to.
She's like, it did make that sound.
I know a lot of people would like to think that. And that's totally fine.
We would get a whole lot more viewers.
Seriously.
So, the three of us are straight women here, and that's how it's going to be. But this would be Dad. Dad would be the one who has fun and doesn't have to do, like, the super... I'm kind of the enforcer. Well, yeah. I was going to get to that, but Dad actually doesn't have to do the serious stuff. No. The serious stuff is for Mom. The fun, playful stuff is for Dad. Mm-hmm. I handle all the social media accounts except for Instagram. Dad has Instagram. You want to know why? Because Instagram is just a bunch of chaos fun. I have the... I do the website.
You don't have to do the writing, just the pictures.
Basically.
And I can't spell, so that's really good. Okay.
I do the website, I do the YouTube, I do Facebook, I do Twitter, I do Vine, I do Vimeo, anything that you can think of, I do, except for the email. That's what our case manager is for, Shauna. She does the emails and she sets up the investigations, she sets
up
interviews. Dad basically shows up and says, guess what, I'm here, now the party starts. So,
yeah, well, I mean, sometimes... Emily has trouble with confrontation, and that's when she likes to pull me in.
Well, you know, like we have this, I don't like to yell at drunk people at a paranormal location. So when there's people drinking alcohol on the porch of an investigation, I send Dad out. I say, Dad, get out of your rocker, put your shoes on, put your coat on, your robe, or whatever you got to do. You got to go outside, and you got to tell everybody that it's time to leave.
Oh my God! Like the clients, like are out there drinking, like while they wait around for you to finish.
We're not going to say any names, but there have been. Some
people think it's a party when we show up to our private cases.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, them ghost hunters are showing up. Yeah. We're going to get drunk and see what they do.
Right.
Yeah.
And then we're just screaming and we're like, oh, shit, did you just hear that woman scream? Oh, no, that was just the
That was the drunk.
And that's when I'm like, all right, Dad, let's go. Go take care of the situation. And then we've got Chrissy, which is grandma fairy godmother / Meemaw is another name that we call her. Meemaw.
She brings the pie to the...
She does!
Yes. She literally has the candy and lotion,
everything.
Oh my gosh.
Grab that. She literally is.
She's always prepared. She's got whatever you need.
And she's super sweet, but she's also a ginger, which means she has already stolen your soul by eye. All three of you are done. You're all done.
Last interview. It's been a good run here on Dead Tribe Paranormal.
Done. It's over.
And I'm also the peacemaker between
So back to that.
When you have two strong-minded people who, like, actually fight for what they believe in, it's a really hard situation when it comes to arguments because neither one of us will back down. If I believe that I'm right, I'm not backing down. If she believes that she's right, she's not backing down. So then Chrissy will come into the middle and be like, all right, you're right and you're wrong, or how about everybody shut up?
Yeah.
I can, like, just like seeing her too, like she's all diplomatic. While you guys are fighting, she's just like, nodding. When you're lying or saying something wrong, she's kind of giggling on the side.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah. Grandma keeps quiet sometimes, and then Grandma steps in when she needs to, so.
She probably got a nasty temper.
She's got a cane.
She doesn't have a cane.
Maybe I should get one.
A new idea born here.
So. A bag with her lotion and her candies. She's got those like toffee candies. Or
butterscotch.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
Yes, the butterscotch.
No, Werther's. Werther's, right? Yeah,
yeah.
That's like our age. Like it was just butterscotch for the grandmothers.
Hey, maybe it's your age.
There's always the candy dish that you don't know how old the candy
is. Yeah.
Like you're like, okay, this 25 years old, there's dust on it, you hope you're scared to eat it, so not in her purse, but you know what I'm talking about.
So with all your social media, so you guys are really big into like marketing and working with other groups and everything. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, like how you've grown or how quickly it or how long it took to?
When we got together, we obviously, you know, we went to college together. We went to college to be graphic designers, graphic artists. So do know a lot about marketing. So that's kind of how I think where we get that experience and pull from.
Oh, that's a big heads up. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I have a background in marketing and social media, and I'm a web designer by day, and Emily runs her own design business.
I run my own graphic design business. I do web and print and social media stuff.
So we got all that covered.
Yeah.
Like, so, when we first started the team, we really did not expect the reaction that we got. We had hundreds of followers within like a week, and it was kind of crazy. We didn't really expect to, and I wouldn't say we blew up, but we blew up in our minds because we kind of were just doing this for
ourselves.
I thought our friends would
like it, and like my mom's gonna be like, oh, that's cute, you got a little Facebook page.
Our first year we had about 12 cases in 1 year, and half of them were residential, so we were kind of we thought maybe it would be like us going to bucket list locations, because nobody's gonna trust a team that just started, especially girls that are young, we don't know what we're doing, and you know what I'm saying. So we To be honest with you, the first year was kind of crazy for us, but we loved every minute of it. It was really fun, and we've been super busy since then too. Every year, I would say we go on at least one investigation a month, but we try to limit it to that because we try to give ourselves enough time to go over all of our files, because everybody has day jobs still. You know, we still have families, we still have friends, we still have lives outside of the paranormal. So you have to allot yourself enough time to go over all the files. So we do about 2 weeks to go over the files. And then we do about a week to get all the files together and send them to the client. And so we have like about a month roughly per case if we can. Sometimes we have to fit more than one in a month if we've got somebody that's urgent to get rid of something or somebody that's really scared. So there's an occasional month that has two cases, but we usually do once a month.
I've done this before. Now I have to ask you guys, since you go out so much, have you ever brought anything home?
Grandma.
Yeah.
Christy has, and our so case has Shauna, manager, our case manager,
gets everything home with her.
Well, Christy, you just had an experience last week. You just had something happen.
My husband and I were sitting on the couch watching TV, and just real quick, we heard the screen door open, and then just loud bangs on the front door, and it was like something was wrong, so he jumped up really quick and went to the
door. He's a cop, by the way, so he's going to be like, boom, right at that door.
Yes.
And nobody was there. And he went outside right away to see, and there was no one there. And I ran to the back, and there was no one there. So
somebody was trying to get in to talk to her. She has
weird things happen from time to time like that.
But she's also our empath, one of our empaths, because Shauna is an intuitive and an empath. I don't know if they're the same thing. For me, we'll get into the energy talk, I guess, for a little bit here. I am completely closed off. I am a deadbolted door. You've got the chain lock. You've got the deadbolt. You've got the chair under the doorknob. Nothing comes in. Nothing comes out. I'm very, I don't know if it's strong-minded, if you want to call it that, but nothing comes in. Nothing comes out. Nothing follows me home ever. I never have experiences at my house. And then we've got Gina, who is, I would say, she's a flapping screen door. She will occasionally open and let something in. And she will occasionally close and not let anything in at all. So she's kind of got that little flap going on.
That's like the way of saying, like, my friend has a good personality. You totally got to meet her. She's a flap.
And then we have Christy, who I like to call the cavernous hole of...
Oh, my gosh.
The cavernous hole where the train just comes right on through with all the spirits, and they just go...
They rail her.
They go in, they have this giant masquerade ball, they're all having a great time, and she's feeling all these things, and then, you know, you got me that has nothing.
She's a ginger, I'm a soul, I have to go with her.
Yeah. The parties go on inside her because she's stolen so many things.
Yeah, that's it.
It's all the souls that she's
Emily,
stolen.
But Emily is actually also our skeptic, since she's so close off. She really doesn't have a lot of experiences, and when we do our evidence review, she's the one who always shoots everything
I'm the asshole, so I'm usually the one that's like, no, that was Christy, or no, that was a cat, or no, that was the curtain that was the wind blowing the widow's craft. You know, I'm always the one that's debunking things.
That's how I am, too.
Yeah, every team needs someone like that. I think because you can't be biased about every location being absolutely haunted. You know, you have to have someone that is trying to disprove it, but making sure that what you are experiencing is paranormal.
Absolutely. So. We actually throw a lot of stuff out. Like, that's what I really like about the dynamic of our team is that we're definitely three different opinions, three different backgrounds, and we really push each other to see something that we may have not thought about or seen in that light before without each other.
Yeah.
So if one of us believes it's this, you know, Emily might say, no, did you think about, you know, the curtains falling in the basement?
Fall at one of our locations, and oh my god, I ran down the stairs, and it was actually my fault because I was playing with the curtains, and they were kind of hanging by a string. And an hour later, we're investigating, and it's all quiet, and all of a sudden, we hear this loud crash in the basement, and we go running down, and it was the curtains. So
it's really good to have three different kind of mindsets because we really push each other to see kind of things in a different light.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that you think have followed you home, Gina?
I don't know. Like, I don't really know if I've had anything follow me home. Now, I've had some weird experiences, and one in particular, I was having a very strange dream of it was like a black room, and I'm on a table, and there's like this smoke coming into my throat, and I'm choking, and I had something whisper in my ear, and it said, "Wake up, you're gonna die."
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, so of course I spider monkeyed out of bed, right? And I was like, my breath was like,
is there a video of that?
And unfortunately not. But, you know, so I think, you know, I'm thinking, oh, that was a really bad dream. So I go into the bathroom and I had scratches across my chest. So, I tried to recreate them because, you know, like, I mean, I tried to,
like,
in
your sleep, you can possibly do something like that.
Which I have a picture of them. I kept a picture of them. So that was really weird. I've felt weird things in my house, but I haven't had anything like Christy, like knock on the door, or our case manager actually had her doors open and close. Nothing so severe like that. But the same thing is like with Emily is that because sometimes I'm a skeptic and sometimes I'm not. I think it's a strong mind. Like there's really no option to follow me home as far as I'm concerned when we're at a location. So I think that really has a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
What do you do, Christy, when it happens?
I just like say that you got to get out of my house.
She puts her foot down. Grandma puts her foot down, and Hank puts her
waves her cane.
Spoon out. She gets a wooden spoon out.
I do cleansings in my house routinely. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. So you were saying, so you're like the sensitive, intuitive empath. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I pick up energies and feelings from people, different locations that we go to.
And Christy actually is one of the cleansers on our team. We have Shauna and Christy both do the cleansings if someone asks for it. Obviously, we don't just run into a place and cleanse it immediately.
Right.
But if we have, you know, someone that's kind of scared of their situation and they're living in fear, then they ask for an investigation and a cleansing. So we'll do an investigation until about 1 or 2 in the morning, and then they'll cleanse it at the end, and then... wrap up and put a little bow on it.
We also just started working with a medium.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Her name is Melissa. Yeah. Which let me tell
she's
you.
She's amazing.
Not that I don't believe that that's a real thing or a possibility, but I feel like a lot of people are frauds, and I was a little nervous about bringing one onto the team. But one, it was weird how we met this girl. It was like the world brought us together.
She kind of fell into our lap.
Yeah, and two, we got along with her really well, and then three, we tested the shit out of her. Like, we didn't even tell her where she was going.
No, we had her meet us. We had her meet us at Gina's house, and then we said, follow us. So basically... she followed us to a location an hour and a half away.
Mm-hmm.
We plopped her inside the location, and she just started reading things. And she, everywhere she goes, she makes someone cry, and in a good way. Blows everybody out of the water.
Especially in the couple times we worked our investigation Saturday, she blew me away. I was like, I was like, how is that even possible for people to know that? And so after, I think, Saturday, I will support because it was a little crazy.
I mean, I've supported her from day one, but Saturday, I will agree, there was a situation, and we won't say any names or anything, but she had brought up the term schizophrenia, and we hadn't heard that at all from the case from any of the people living in the home or anything about that in the case. And the homeowners were like, oh my God, she just said that. And they kind of went on about what that has to do with their family. And we were like, well, that's really weird because we didn't hear anything about that.
It wasn't just that. I mean, yeah. She pulled a lot of detailed, specific things about this family that were very personal that they did not discuss with anyone. So I was like, okay, that's really weird. Mm-hmm. So, but she's new. We have a medium now.
She's been on, I would say, three or four cases with us so far. We brought her on in August of last year, and we're excited to bring her on to the rest of them.
Mm-hmm. So what do your cleansings entail? Do you have different types for different problems or different religions or anything like that?
Sean and I usually work together. She has her different ways of cleansing, and then I have my different ways of cleansing, and we kind of just work together.
It's kind of a case-by-case sometimes, what the situation calls for, I think.
All I know is that there's a lot of sage and it smells terrible.
What are some of the specifics? So what are you using? Sage?
I hate sage. It smells like BO or something weird. And it gives me a migraine, too. So if I'm at a location where they're cleansing, I almost have to separate myself from the situation. Maybe it's the demon inside me that doesn't like the sage.
It gets rid of ghosts and Emily's.
But it gives me a headache and I can't stand the smell. But, I mean, you know, I obviously couldn't separate myself from the situation this past Saturday because it was like 20 degrees outside. So I had to stick around and suffer the headache. But, yeah, I know there's sage involved. That's all I know.
So maybe that's what changed your eyes.
Oh, it might be.
Oh, I wish people could see this.
Okay, we can take a pic. So do you like say like a certain kind of chant when you're doing the sage?
I do prayers and say in my head that they need to leave the home because they're no longer welcome. But we also have the families say prayers, whatever prayers they feel comfortable saying in the home.
Yeah, they usually give the homeowners homework to do afterwards because it's not that what they do at the location is not good enough, but it's always good to kind of keep
with it. Well, you know, the families really need control of their situation, and there's only so much we can do for them, but they really need to take control of their...
A strong mind in the situation can, I think, in my mind, get rid of anything. So, you know, as long as they stick with it and they keep at it, and they stay strong-minded that you cannot be in this home, that you need to leave. This is not your home. This is our home. We are living here, kind of, you know, that's the way I look at it. If they can keep doing that, and then they can keep burning that nasty-ass sage, they can keep, you know, whatever they got to do.
And what's the method that the new psychic uses?
She actually hasn't done a cleansing with us yet.
She's a medium, so there's a difference. Right. She has her, I guess, I don't know, spirits come to
I don't know how much she has spirit guides, but I know that she does. To you guys on Saturday and asking what you guys were going to do. So I don't know if eventually she might want to join forces with them and help them with that or not. I'm not suggesting anything, you know, but I know that she was interested in how you guys were.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said that she had done it. Was it Shauna who does cleansings?
Yeah, Shauna, our case manager.
Oh, okay.
Are the cleansers of the team and they're both the empaths. And then Melissa is a separate entity. She is our psychic medium.
Okay. What are some of Shauna's methods?
Shauna did an egg cleansing. That's not something that I'm familiar with. And then she had them, gave them salt, like Epsom salt.
Epsom salt baths to soak
in baths.
Was the egg thing a thing where you rub the egg over your body, like the whole egg, and then you take a shower and then you crack it later in a bowl?
You don't have to take a shower, but she did crack the eggs at the end to see if there wasn't any, you know, color discoloration of the eggs, but she had done one, previously where the whole egg inside was red.
Oh, that is so badass. Yeah. It's so freaky. I've heard of that a while ago. Actually, a girl we interviewed a while ago in season one, one of my personal friends, she thinks that she has a curse on her, and a person she saw in her country said to do that. They said rub the egg on you. Again, it's the whole egg, so you're not like gooey or anything. And then take a shower and then crack it. And yeah, it might be red, it might be black. Like, ugh. I want to try it. It's scary.
She had done one on a client previously, and she said when she cracked the egg, it was red on the inside. And I was like, that would be creepy. Apparently, gypsies and
Native Americans
used to do that cleansing method.
So, what's a couple of the favorite places you guys have gone to that you want to go back to?
Alaska, 100%.
I'll move in that house if I could. It was amazing.
We had such a paraboner for this place. Whenever it was over, it was ridiculous.
Hashtag paraboner.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we hashtag that at least a thousand times. So you can probably find it on social media somewhere.
So that's the Villisca Axe Murder House in Iowa.
Villisca, it's not that we didn't expect it to deliver, but we always kind of go into a situation not expecting too much just because, I mean, you guys know, you've investigated, you can come away with nothing all the time.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So we kind of went into the situation not expecting a whole lot, but I will tell you, on the drive out there, I had anxiety and panic feeling. Everybody in our car had a panic feeling. Just like not even a mile from the house, and we started to feel like we were getting close. We're like, oh my God, why? Like, I can't breathe. My arms are feeling weird. My arms are jello.
Mom, Dad, Grandma.
all three of us. Yeah,
they are mom, Dad, Grandma. So who do you turn to now?
No, was that a tour, or did you guys have the place to yourself?
We had it to ourselves.
Wow. Yeah.
And it was awesome. Amazing. We got some really crazy evidence we're going to put a mini doc together for. And
actually, it's not going to be a mini doc. We usually put together mini docs, which are like 3 to 6 minutes long, but this one is going to go way longer than that. It's probably going to be 20 plus minutes because of all of the stuff that happened to us there, all of the personal experiences, all of the evidence we caught, visual, audio. I mean, there's so much to put in there that there's no way to condense it to be a mini doc.
I'm also going to write an article about it in the next Haunted Magazine issue.
Yeah.
Because it was just so crazy. It's going to be called.
Yeah, we talked to someone recently who had a bunch of experiences there, and they're putting a little documentary, too, together.
For the record, right now I have a paraboner.
Yeah. Yeah! You know what? I love paraboners. We want to stroke them so bad. Yeah.
So what happened in the house? Can you tell, like, anyone listening, like, just a little bit about the house and what happened at the investigation?
Well, I'll tell you one thing that we actually just discovered recently after going over audio. We had a lot of personal experiences that happened and things that happened in real time that we heard. However, going back over the audio later it's been about a month and a half because we were so backed up we couldn't go over it right away. Plus, it was a bucket list location, so it's not like there was a client waiting for files from us.
Mm-hmm.
So we put those on the back burner. But
it made us finish the other evidence so much faster.
Oh, yeah. Get to the Villisca evidence, so we were like punching everything out really quickly. But going back over the audio, what happened was we arrived at like 5 p.m. and we decided to set up everything, set up all the DVR equipment and set up a couple EVP recorders. And then we went out to dinner. And we locked up the house. Gina actually had the audio files for review for the portion where we left. And I shit you not, the piano is playing throughout six minutes
of piano playing.
Six minutes straight. We checked the DVR system. I went back on to the DVR files and I watched us walk in, set the EVP recorder down. I mean, we had 8 cameras going. We had it in the kitchen, in the living room, upstairs, downstairs. So you could see if anyone had come in the house or anyone had left. You see all of us leaving, and then about 15 minutes later is when you start to hear the piano noise. And it's like a couple keys here and there, and then it would do like 2 or 3 keys at once, almost like it's trying to play a song, and then it'd be a couple more keys here and there, but it was literally 6 minutes of piano. And it's crazy. And I slept under that thing. Under that.
Wow. Oh, my God. And you didn't have a camera on the piano, I'm guessing, right?
No, we did.
What? Yeah. Can you see the keys moving?
No. No. Well, see, unfortunately, with the DVR system, I mean, I'm sure you guys use a DVR system.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're not. Some people do, some people don't. But the quality isn't, like, the best. So you can't really tell if any of the piano keys are moving. But we did love the fact that it captured no one in the room at that time and no one in the house in general during the audio picking up the piano. So it's kind of disproves it being a living being in there playing. But it was if it showed the pianos move, the keys moving, it would have been really cool if we could see that.
Do you know if anybody else that had investigated the house had reported that as part of their evidence?
You know, that would be a question for Ryan, our research specialist. Yeah, he knows everything in the house.
We went over a lot of stuff before we went in that place. And
there's hundreds of claims.
One of the biggest ones was that your mood changes.
Mm-hmm. That's another thing that happened with us. That was one of the really crazy personal experiences. We got good idea Gina over here, who brings an axe in the house.
Nice.
Walks around twisting it on her shoulder like that.
Oh, my God.
Mood change, and we're fighting.
Oh, my God.
Probably something that's going to be discussed in the documentary when put it together. We're going to have a sit-down interview.
It was strange event for myself. It was weird. I don't know how I feel about it because I've never had this happen to me before. But first off, let me just tell you, I brought the axe in not to stir shit up because we're very respectful.
Oh,
but
yeah.
What Absolutely. We were doing, we were recreating the kitchen as the killer left the kitchen, okay?
Yeah.
And he left the axe on the floor. So I brought the axe in, and we were going to set it up in the same manner that it was left.
Yeah, she wasn't going to walk around with it and swing it or anything. No. Like, she walked in with it and was holding it until we were ready to set up the scene that was caught by, I guess, the investigators and the police officers when they came to the house. There was an axe up against the wall, and then there was a slab of bacon next to
it. Right, that's right.
And it ate their food, like, made dinner and ate their food.
But the bacon was not... like disturbed, like it was just laying next to the axe by itself. It had not been eaten, hadn't been cooked. Just
so we brought bacon,
pound slab of bacon.
Oh my gosh!
Because I'm a vegetarian and I do
buy bacon.
I do not buy meat, but I was like, I'm gonna buy some bacon. So I went in and I bought the bacon, and that's kind of how like the whole squabble happened. Really, it was the most retarded thing ever, and it made no sense whatsoever. Right. But the fact that it happened was because of her mood change. And it's funny because as we're arguing about this bacon and Gina slams the door and walks out, I look over at Christy and I give her this look like, did you see what just happened there? Because I don't understand what's happening. And she kind of gave me this look, we were exchanging the same look like, what the hell just happened? And then back in and I was like, let's separate. So Gina went upstairs, I went to the other room, Christy went down, and we kind of went about our merry way. Like, we didn't touch back on it. But I know that us butting heads happens all the time, and it's just kind of normal occurrence. We don't care about it. It never affects us. But I had this feeling inside that I was like, don't keep this going. Like, there was a really weird feeling in me that was like, if you keep this going, this could get really ugly, and I don't really know what's happening right now. I don't know why she's so angry. I was so confused. So I was like,
it was really
stop.
Interesting because when we go back and talk about it, I don't remember half the things that happened.
I was just going to ask you that.
It's very blurry. I remember it very spotty. And what I thought happened actually didn't happen at all because I thought that I brought the axe upstairs and that never happened.
It never came out of the kitchen. Well, it was in the kitchen and the living room, but it never went up the stairs.
And they said that I was twirling it like I knew what I was doing. And
like she was a goddamn lumberjack, you know, on her nightgown. Holding that thing. Like, she looked very natural with this axe. And it's funny because the fact that she doesn't remember a lot of things, Christy and I remember more than what was even happening, to be honest with you. It's a weird way to explain it, but it's like we have a memory of such a long period of time. I have this memory of us arguing for 20 minutes, but when you go back and listen to the audio, it's not even 5 minutes long.
There's
it's like 3 minutes long.
There's like
time warp or something.
Yeah, time warp
it
or something
weird,
inside that
and
house.
And we have a picture of me while it's going on, and you look at my face, and it doesn't even look like my face. It's very strange.
It's really
weird. Very, very weird. It's creepy.
Yeah, because like the claims there, like there was like the axe murderers, the mom and dad died, the kids, the two girls that were sleeping over. But you know, claims are that like this happens a lot with murder claims. You know, they think like the ghost of the murderers would still be there too, or.
Right.
Go back. So
I wouldn't say that you had taken on the personality of the murderer, but you had talked about like the feelings that you were getting because she was up in the parents' bedroom at one point and she had called me in there because she was hearing these noises and she was feeling weird. So I came in and then we called Christy up because she was in the main level bedroom. And so we both come up there and we both plopped on the bed and Gina was feeling really angry with us that we sat on the bed. Like, she thought we were so disrespectful for sitting on the bed.
Yeah, it was really weird. I just was so mad that they would sit down on this bed. Like, and that makes
which
no sense.
Which we were told that we could. Like, it's not like we just ran rampant in this house and did whatever we wanted. You know, the owner said you can sit on the beds, you can sit on things, but you just can't actually sleep in the bed when you stay the night. So nobody slept in any beds, but I sat on the edge of bed, Christy sat on the edge of the bed, and Gina, like, was livid about it. And she was expressing to us later, after the fact. You didn't say anything, I think, whenever we sat down about it, but later she expressed that she was really upset that we sat on the bed. So I think, and she thinks maybe she possibly took on
the emotions of the father or the mother or
it
someone.
It was the bed that they were killed in, and it was almost like how they would be angry for me bringing the axe into the house. Even though I wasn't trying to scare anyone or waving it around like, I'm going to kill you or anything like that, I still was the one who brought it into the house.
Right.
And I that may have pissed something off.
Did you get any empathic feelings, Christy?
I could not go into the attic. Like, I felt not afraid of it, but I felt creeped out by it the entire time. And when I finally did go in there with Jeff, I didn't ask any questions. And that's
kind of quiet.
That's not like
me
at all.
It was overwhelming.
Like, it was really overwhelming. Jeff and I both had that same feeling, like something was just like right there in your face. And I could not, I felt like that funhouse effect where I was just like constantly, you know, like moving.
Mm-hmm.
I could not get my bearings when I was in there. We were only in there for a few minutes. We had to leave.
They both were feeling the same. Jeff had both expressed to us that he didn't really like being in there. And then they both kind of like made the decision to leave at the same time.
Both of us felt so sick from being in there. We had to leave. And that was the only time I was in there.
Wow.
I think Jeff had only been in there, you know, a couple times.
Yeah, I had gone in there to set up the camera with him, but I didn't actually spend any like investigation time in there myself.
Yeah. Yeah, but we had so much happen there.
Yeah, that I actually want to go back.
Yeah.
And that's just a couple things.
That's just a
the whole story for on the midnight of the doc.
We don't want to give too much away.
Yeah. If you go back, can we leave the axe at home?
Maybe.
It kind of got.
Is it a bad idea if it works?
It sounds like it really affected you. Now, what if it affected you to the point where you actually started swinging it?
We actually were sure that the axe was locked away when it was time for bed because we were all scared to death that Gina was going to go grab that axe and just slice everybody's heads off. So we made sure that it was safe and locked away when it was.
Wow.
Shining over here, Jesus. What are some of the other places that you've been? You have a long list of places you guys have checked out. Boom Boom Room
is a favorite of ours.
Yeah.
It's an amazing place. Unfortunately, it's being torn down.
Yeah,
but
it was flooded pretty bad. The last couple floods that we had out here, it was damaged every time. And right now, they're actually pulling it apart and putting pieces of it in a museum.
They're salvaging it But it was an old showboat that was, it was
dilapidated.
And it just looked amazing inside. And
it was gorgeous. There was like gold, like scrolling, like in the ceilings. Like it was exactly what you would imagine.
It was a hidden gem. Like a lot of people weren't able to get out there and see it. And we made some really good friends with the caretakers out there. And
they're really great people.
Really nice people. And they had great claims. And we had some good experiences out there. So it's unfortunate that's being torn down.
Right.
What else?
Are some of the claims there?
Oh gosh, there's a lot of light activity, like balls of light, which we have experienced ourselves. And it's really weird because the three of us all saw the same thing, but we saw something different. Mm-hmm. And it's very unusual for the three of us to experience the same paranormal happening, especially me, because like I said, I don't see or hear shit.
Yeah.
Right.
But from this location, we were on the stage looking into the auditorium, and we all saw this ball of light almost like bounce down the seats, like it was like going down the
seats. Into the captain's chair.
The captain's chair was up in this area, and there was always a ball of light seen during, like in the area of the captain's chair. And we all saw the same light. I personally saw something that looked green.
I saw it bounce, and it landed in the captain's chair, which that's one of the claims is that the captain still sits in his chair and he watches from the balcony.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she also saw the light. So we saw it together. So it was really interesting.
I think you saw a different color than the other.
And
it almost morphed or changed, I guess, into different colors or kind of a shade.
Yeah.
But it was.
And then I had seen it a time before that.
Yeah.
Also.
And that's also weird because it was almost like we were meant to be there because there is a book that just by chance Jeff found in the library that shows a blonde, a brunette, and a redhead investigating a showboat.
I'm usually,
and like the captain of the showboat is like rowing a girl off.
There's stories of Rose, who was the daughter of an actor there who wanted to be an actress, and the father said, no, you can't do it. And she ended up getting into an argument, and then she was killed.
No one knows what happened.
Yeah, they don't know what happened. They found her floating, I think, the next day in the water, and no one knows what happened to her. So, and she always wears a red dress, according to the people that
see her. And the cover of this book depicts, like,
there's a woman in a red dress.
Yeah,
and
it's really weird.
Captain, so.
And it's, like, the three of us, like, in their, like,
yeah, they're wearing, like, there's three women in all the three different hair colors with flashlights around this tree looking at this boat, which is, like,
and this book is from, it's from, like, the 80s.
Yeah,
it was really weird. We found that right close to the time we were investigating it, so that was strange.
Yeah,
listen, the 80s wasn't that long ago, so calm down.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying it was like before we went there.
It was way before we
started. How about that?
Yeah.
We were alive in the 80s. We were not as young as you think.
What I saw on your list was the penitentiary. Was that the
Missouri State Penitentiary?
We only did the tour there to check it out, it was definitely worth it. So we actually have it.
Yeah, we have it in a couple months. July.
Yeah.
It's either June or July.
Not the tour.
We have too many cases for me to remember which is which.
Nice.
But in those months, we have Missouri State Penitentiary. And we're teaming up with Apex Paranormal, who is out of Kansas City, Missouri, as well. We ended up meeting them at the tour that night that we went to check it out.
It's a large spot, so it's easy to share because there's three different buildings. I think it's 44 acres, so we can definitely not place it the same. And we have the gas chamber, too.
Yeah.
But sometimes we still go do the tours to check out the place to see if it's worth doing the entire
thing. Like a precursor to see what to expect, or if it's even worth, like she said, if it's even worth paying the money, because obviously it's not free to do
that. It's all out of pocket for us.
Yeah,
exactly. Most of these places, they do the like main tours, and then they have the option of doing the private tours. But I mean, they can be like $400 or $500, which, oh my God.
Or more.
But when you put, the more people you put, obviously the less it is per person.
Right.
We have 10, no, I'm sorry, we have 14 people, I think, going on this.
Oh, wow.
But it's 44 acres, so you can literally disperse
three different
and
buildings.
No one would hear anyone at all.
Yeah.
So
it's four, is it four buildings counting the gas chamber? Yeah, it's four buildings.
It might be, yeah. I'd have to look again.
We'll be far enough away from each other to not contaminate, which we're really picky about, because if it's too small of a place, we won't even, the three of us won't go in.
No.
We'll send in two at a time.
And we also, like, the way that we do things is we have a base camp, which is Christy has an RV that she lends out to the team, which is amazing. It's this beautiful.
We always have a bathroom.
Yeah, there's a
That's awesome.
There's a refrigerator. There's a sink. It's like a little house.
Yeah, it's our little trailer.
We set up our DVR system. That's where base camp goes. You know, the live feed on the TV. All of our equipment sits in there, and everybody sits in there until we send the next person in. We either send the three of us in, or we kind of swap people out. Sometimes we'll send some of our base camp bitches in.
We like to keep base camp outside.
For contamination, you know, because we actually act like idiots sometimes whenever we're sitting at base camp and eating snacks and drinking coffee at like 3 o'clock in the morning, and we're all like jittery. So sometimes, you know, it gets a little loud in there. So to have that separated from the building itself is much better for review and evidence.
It's amazing. I mean, like a little candy wrapper crinkling three rooms away can sound like a whisper. Like people don't believe that, and it's true.
Someone's stomach growl will sound like a demon saying, get out.
Yes.
Had it. We're like, it's your bubble guts.
It's not funny, but it's true.
Mr. Bubble Guts.
Or then if you do something embarrassing, you blame it on a ghost. I've had guys, nope, that was a ghost. No, that wasn't a ghost. So let's talk about that. You pair up with a lot of people. So you guys do a ton of networking. You do like Scarefest. So talk a little bit about that.
We love networking. We love working with people. We are not a stuck-up team.
We don't have territory issues at all. And not to name anybody, but there are some people out there that will get mad at you if you step on their turf. And it's like, I'm sorry, isn't this everybody's turf? Like, anyone could go anywhere.
We don't play those games. We do what we
want. You know, like, we like to share our turf. If you want to come in our area, we're going to show you around. We know a lot of paranormal teams from out of state, and we're like, hey, if you're ever in the area, let us know. We'll take you to these places, or we'll team up with you if you want help on an investigation, or we'll take you to the bar and drink.
Lynn Mansion, because Lynn Mansion is really close to us.
We love the
Lynn
Mansion.
And the bartenders know us there very well. And so
they know us too well.
So if we ever have teams come in, we're like, we'll take you to Lynn.
Yes.
drink a lot of
whiskey. It's a gorgeous mansion and so much activity and so much history with the mansion, but also like the people that work there are really great. We're really good friends with them. So anytime we come in, they're always like shots, you know? So sometimes our team meetings aren't necessarily structured and productive.
Yeah.
And we have a couple shots and then we end up the next bar afterwards. So,
but we have a sort of a sister team outside of Indiana, which we're getting ready to do two investigations with in April.
Parasol Sisters.
Which we're doing Blackford County Jail and the Rhodes House with them all in the same weekend.
Sarah, actually, from Parasol Sisters, she is the one that went to Villisca with us because we ended up having two open spots after we had reserved the location. So we brought our paranew Brian, who won the spot. We kind of set out something on Facebook. Like, who wants to win the spot to go to Villisca? And he was the first one to respond. So, and we, Gina works with him at her work, and so we kind of knew him prior to that. And then Sarah had seen us talk about how another spot had opened up. She's like, I want to go. So she ended up coming with us to Villisca, and we kind of have become really close with her and with her team. So we've been setting up different locations to tackle together. There's actually a couple other locations the rest of the year that she's been asking us about that we haven't been able to, you know, see if we can schedule or not yet. But yeah,
Apex, which we're doing Mopin with, we met them on the tour for Mopin, and we were discussing about how we wanted to rent it out, and that place is really expensive, so dividing that with another team helps, especially when it's a big lot like that and you have the area to move around. Like, I don't mind sharing that.
Right.
So we met them at the tour. There's a few local teams around here, like Coyote Chris. Well, he's not a team, but...
Well, yeah, he doesn't really do investigations. He's a shaman, but he has been asked to go in and do cleansings and stuff like that. And he has come on, I think, two investigations with us. He went to a church with us, and then we did this CBC location. It was like I think it was a general store or something at one point, but now it's dilapidated and, you know, it's not running. But, we've done a couple investigations with him.
We have a brother team. We've claimed TWC as our brother. They like it or not, we're claiming them.
Who are they? Where are they out of?
That's Ghost Asylum, guys. We met them at Scarefest. We actually go to Scarefest just to network with other teams.
Yep. Oh, that's right. I saw that in the page. You said you weren't setting up a booth. You're just going to, like, chill.
It's not that it would be pointless or anything, but for us, we'd rather walk around and communicate with everybody there rather than stuck at a table.
Yeah, we're very social.
Yeah. Yeah. So we ended up meeting.
No way. There's no way.
I know. We have like so many dead spots we're going to have to edit out later.
Dan,
like,
play music or something.
You did the YWCA. STLPRS.
Yep, STLPRS.
Which is St. Louis Paranormal Research Society, I believe. Which they're pretty big here in St. Louis. They've got like 10,000
Dave Glover. We always do stuff with Dave Glover.
He's a local radio guy.
He has Paranormal Tuesdays.
Yeah, he has us on occasionally on his show. I think it's 97? No.
I don't know.
I can't remember the station.
Yeah, we love networking. I mean, we are not that team that's like, you know, we run into that team that's like, our evidence, we don't share anything, we're not going to tell you anything. That's not our attitude at all. So
good stuff.
Are there any teams that you want to work with?
We're open to about anyway. We're friends with so many people that we've gotten to know over social media.
There's people in the East Coast that we would love to work with. There's people in the West Coast that we would love to work with. I don't know if I can pinpoint anyone in particular, but I know that there's at least five or six different people that we've always talked to, even overseas. We have friends overseas that are like, oh, we can't wait to come to America.
Yes, I want to work with UK Haunted. Yes.
Wait, Emily, could you please repeat that? I missed that.
I knew I was forgetting people.
UK Haunted, I actually just spoke with them today on Vine. They're always commenting on some of the stuff that we have. And
Patrick Doyle. I want to work
with Patrick Doyle. We also have, there's a lot of people. I mean, we love everybody. We would work with anybody, I think.
So do you guys have a bucket list of places you want to go to?
Well, we just checked one off the list in December with Villisca. I would say mine would be the Winchester Mansion. I really want to do the Winchester Mansion.
Ah, yes, the house that never ends.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed with it. I would love to do that. I think Lizzie Borden House would be something really interesting to do.
I would love to do Lizzie,
We are actually... dad over here, Lizzie, guys. We are actually going to Salem for our birthday in August, and I would love to actually investigate the grounds of the Salem witch trials, and which was recently discovered. So I'd like to hit that. And that wasn't ever really on my bucket list because I didn't really know if people actually knew where it was located. But I did read an article recently that I think
it was uncovered. It was like
a college had uncovered the actual grounds of where it took place.
Get out! That's awesome.
Yeah, we went there. 2 years ago, and there was tours, and we were getting like different areas from different people who you talk to where it took place.
There's always been like an idea, and I think everyone they're like, oh, it was here, oh, it was here, it was here, and then they're just recently, which, you know, this could just be added to the list of oh, it was here, but certain on a specific location because of the stuff they found there or something. I'm not sure, but it'd be interesting to
that
see.
That place is amazing in October, though.
Really, I'm really excited.
We're going in August, so hopefully it's amazing in August, too.
Since you guys are getting more popular as time goes on, are you getting requests from anyone to come investigate their place?
As in, like, a residential case or, like a well-known...
Like a well-known, any places like, hey, we want the three girls in the dark.
I wouldn't say
yes and no. I mean, we have a couple of places.
I don't think it can be yes and no.
Well, it's not famous. It's St. Louis famous.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it the old stadium of the Rams? Oh.
We don't sport, so we don't care.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
No, they can. I don't even care.
Three girls, not one is a football fan.
I like football.
Oh, all right. Shit. Yeah. I could say.
The band.
Talk about that, though. Okay. So you know the band The Urge?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They are from St. Louis. The lead singer, Steve Ewing, he actually owns a couple hot dog spots. legit gourmet hot dog locations. And one of them is reportedly haunted. And I was there one night eating some hot dogs with my family. And I had posted a picture on Instagram, and I was like, oh, because they had Ghostbusters figurines. I was like, yes, Ghostbusters at Steve Ewing's hot dogs. And he commented and said, did you hear about our ghost? I was like, no shit. Okay, I'm coming to investigate. So we were talking through Instagram, and he's like, here's the email. Let us know when you want to come out. So we are kind of investigating, like, a well-known hot spot in St. Louis, but we didn't know it was haunted. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
But... other than that, I mean, we have a bar that we're going to, I think, in March. There's a bar in Missouri, a couple hours away, that has requested us come out. But
we're not too cool yet. We don't have any of the big ones.
Yeah. Well, we also are in the Midwest, which there's not a whole lot out here. If
we,
you think about where we are,
travel out.
There's not a whole lot out here. And I mean, if somebody from the East Coast asked us to come out, we would make it happen, obviously. But it wouldn't be the easiest situation for us, you know, because everything's out of
place. So with all the social media you do, I mean, that's like the biggest part of you. I mean, people want to know, like, God, they're doing it. Like, how do I do that? How do we do that? Like, what do you... Let me rephrase
that.
We
definitely save our website for the serious stuff. Our Facebook is serious and fun. Our Instagram is shenanigans.
Yeah.
It's you know, what I ate for dinner. It doesn't even matter what's on our Instagram. Don't go there for important stuff.
I heard like dinner is like a cardinal sin of Instagramming.
I know. It's like, you know, it's whatever. I mean, we post our information on there too, but that's more behind the scenes.
Occasionally we have a serious post or two with Instagram, but mostly like Facebook is mostly serious with a couple shenanigans in there, and Twitter is usually always serious. I don't do a whole lot with Twitter. There's really no reason that I don't, but I focus mainly on Instagram, or not Instagram, Facebook and the website is what I do. So
your Facebook reach is still good? We've been talking about that with a lot of people, how it's getting really difficult. Like our own, I mean, we'll post something and it's, you know, 25 people saw it, 3 people saw it. Like, it's ridiculous. Yeah.
It really depends on what time you post it of the day. There's been occasions where I have posted something on, you know, during peak time, and it will have 100 viewers.
We don't buy followers.
No.
In fact, I cannot stand when on Instagram we get tagged a lot in this, tag somebody and you'll get 600 followers.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
I don't want your fake followers.
Yeah.
Go away.
Yeah. Followers that don't even like this stuff, but they'll be like listed under your followers.
They're not even like human beings, these followers you get randomly.
But yeah.
Like we have, I think, 2,300 right now at Facebook, which isn't terrible. Once we hit 2,000, I was like, yay! You know, like 2,000 was like
a personal goal for us to hit 2,000.
Yeah. But yeah, like you said, like sometimes I'll post something at like 7 o'clock peak time one night and it'll get 100 views and or 100, it'll reach 100 people. And then like 2 days later, I'll post something at 7 and it'll get 900.
Yeah.
Mm. So I don't, you know, it just really depends on who's online and who's not, you know.
Right.
Well, you guys were coming up with your group and you decided like, all right, let's do this. Did you actually sit down and come up with a business plan to try to make it as a bigger group?
No, not really.
It wasn't.
This is really for us. Like the reason why we have a team is for our own interest in the paranormal. We have no desire to be nationally known. We have no desire to be famous in any way whatsoever. But we love the love that we get. Yeah. From our fans.
We had an amazing response, and I'm not going to lie, some of the stuff that comes along with it is cool, and we want to take, you know, advantage of that because it's an opportunity that we may have not had.
Exactly. The opportunities are, like, the best part, like, the more you can do for yourself.
I will not deny that at all. Someone calls us up and says, hey, would you guys be interested in this?
Yeah
I'm interested. But I think in the beginning, it was more the fact that we were unhappy with the way things were, not that the way things were ran, but we weren't satisfied in our quests because so many people were on the tours and all these other factors that when you have a team, you're taken a little bit more seriously and like locations will be like, oh, there's a name, there's a team name. They're actually doing things and it's, you know, they take you a little bit more seriously. So I think that's why we actually put the real team together. And, but the response from that has just been amazing and overwhelming and nothing that we expected. So it's been really cool.
Yeah, it's really awesome. Like, what do you think it was? Just the name? I mean, you're just trying to, like, get your Facebook page to get some cases and then bam.
A lot of people were upset when they found out it wasn't porn. That's what it was.
It was the name. Being the Facebook person, I'm the one that runs Facebook. We get so many porn posts on our page. Every day I have to go in and delete a porn post. Do you want to know what today's post was?
I apologize, by the way.
So you're the one that posted the big black dick.
Yeah. Yep.
That's what we today.
That was from the summer. Obviously, I don't have that tan right now.
So yeah, three girls in the dark, you instantly think, you know, porn or something.
What's
dirty.
That?
Which is, that's the whole marketing scheme though. You know, it's not like we purposefully made it dirty, but when we came up with the name, we were like, holy crap, that's kind of catchy and it's intriguing. It doesn't say paranormal in it at all. So it drives traffic to the website. It drives traffic to the Facebook. It drives traffic to wherever you want it to go. And then if they stick around, that's a different story.
It was actually really funny. I was actually sitting on Emily's floor in her living room, and I had a sketch pad, and I was drawing some stuff up, and I didn't know what to call us. And we were like, well, what do we do? And I go, we're just three girls in the dark. And as soon as I said it, we were like, that's it. That's what
magic.
We are.
Magic.
So, it was like magic. Yeah. We just knew right away.
Everything came together. And we were like, oh.
So, that's how it went.
Do you feel, like, pressured at all? I mean, like, since that's what it is, and, like, I've worked in broadcasting, and another friend of mine, we're talking about, it's not even paranormal, but just, like, a whole different project, and there's even, like, things we talk about, and I'm like, honestly, like, I feel like it's going to have a phallic name, you know, like, to help out. Like, does it bum you out at all? Like, not your name, because, like, that worked out great, but do you feel pressure at all to, like, make things sound that way on any of your posts or descriptions of anything?
We all have dirty minds to begin with,
The thing is that we are crazy, and it comes off as crazy in our posts, and I think that's why people like us, because we're real, we're down to earth, and we're not afraid to be ourselves, so we like to have fun on investigations, as well as be professional at times. You know, when it's time to be professional, it's time to get down, we do it, but when it's time to have fun, we're gonna have fun too. Right. So you know, we have parties occasionally at locations. If it's really dead, no pun intended. If it's really dead, and there's no activity, we will just break out into random dance.
And we'll there's
start
videos
working on
there's
stage
videos,
or something.
This
so,
is videos of this
yeah,
on
there's,
our Instagram.
Yeah, and on our YouTube, we've got some dance videos on our YouTube. So we're not afraid to be ourselves and have fun and do what we want to do because this is our team and we're gonna do what we
want
to
do.
Do
what we want
and screw you if you have a problem with it.
Recognize. What is that magazine you do? Earlier you said you were going to write something in Haunted Magazine.
So Haunted Magazine, and
they're actually from the UK, I believe.
Yeah, and you can, I don't know if it's
an, it's an electronic magazine. It's not, well, they did print a couple copies of the last.
Right. If you Google Haunted Magazine, you should be able to find it. But the past two issues we've done, and we wrote an article for, and it's kind of been about our experiences. So the next one is going to be dedicated to women in the paranormal.
Yeah.
So we got asked to write again, and we're writing it on Villisca. So there'll be more details about Villisca in that issue.
Well, then keep up the good work. Like, more power to you.
Yeah, if you guys come to the East Coast, let us know. Maybe we can interview you again.
Well, where out of the East Coast are you again?
We're in Connecticut. We don't know you that well yet, so we'd rather not. No.
I need an address.
And I heard John talking to four girls in an interview before, and you sounded like you really wanted them to come find you.
Shut up, Kelly.
No, just you three. You're special.
No, we're in Connecticut.
And Connecticut's the size of, like, a pinky, so the whole thing, we're there.
In August, but not in...
Yeah, Salem's only, like, 2.5 hours away. Not even, actually.
Yeah. It's so nice.
I was thinking about doing a meet and greet type of thing in Salem. I haven't told this broad yet about it. But I was thinking about doing a meet and greet because there are several people that we are friends with out in that area. And if they're within driving distance and they want to come hang out with us for a little bit, because this isn't actually paranormal. This is just for fun for us. So, like, there's no legit investigation going on or anything. We can do what we want and be free to wherever we want to go and what we, who we want to see, what we want to do. So it would be really cool to meet up with a couple people if they would be interested in coming and hanging out for a little bit. So
why don't you go to Salem and then stay overnight in Lizzie Borden?
That's like my dream.
Yeah,
it'd
be a dream. We can shoot. We need
to extend our birthday vacation.
Yeah.
It's not that far away.
It is not. I know, but like we only had like 3 days. I think
we're actually going to New York and Salem.
Oh, there you go. Nice.
Yeah,
it's like
we'll talk about a three-day
excursion that needs to be extended to about a 5 or 6 day.
Grandma, are you prepared for this debate?
Yeah.
we'll discuss it. We're gonna have
a discussion. Yeah.
Cool. Well, then last two questions. What are some things coming up, if any, that you want people to know about, and where can we find you? All your social media and website. Emily, your hand was raised. Your turn.
Okay. So we are into all things weird and creepy and oozy and goozy and gross and fun and Halloween. And yes, she's lying. Everything weird. And so there's this convention that is held in St. Louis every year. And it's a really big convention. It's a haunt and attraction convention. So there's huge, like, two-story tall animatronics. There's haunted house stuff. There's, like, masks. There's fog machines. There's all kinds of things that happen in this convention, and we were able to attend it last year, and we're actually attending it again this year, and we're throwing an after party.
Yeah.
Ooh.
It's the Saturday of the convention, but we actually rented out a haunted police station where you can still hang out in the jail cells, and we're going to have fire breathers, and we're going to have a DJ, and we're going to have trapeze artists. Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
We're going all out,
we threw a Halloween party this year. It was the first one we did, and we threw it at this place, and it actually landed on one of the top places to be in St. Louis for Halloween. So we're kind of recreating that for the haunt show.
Yeah.
And we're throwing an after party, so it's going to be pretty crazy. I'm excited about it.
Yeah, that's something coming up in March. And then we have
April, we have
The two investigations in Indiana with the Parasol Sisters, the Rhodes Hotel and the Blackford County Jail. And then May...
we have Mopin coming.
Mopin is in June. July, we have something else. Scarefest.
We're doing Scarefest this year.
So many things that I can't even keep my mind.
We have some stuff that we haven't locked in yet, but there are possibilities for later in the year. Everything's on our website. We have a calendar on our website that you can go to and check
it up now.
Out everything we have coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And we're always posting about it also.
Yeah.
But then we have, like, you know, we'll have our Halloween party again this year since it was such a
success. 250 plus people show up, and it was our first
So
we were blown away by the attendance. We were like, man. And it was actually, it fell on Halloween. So there was a lot of people that couldn't actually make it. So we're like, right. Man, this year it's not going to fall on Halloween.
We also, I think we're rescheduling, but it's still maybe in works for Morse Mill.
Morse Mill. That's another location we've been to a couple times. It's a really good location in Missouri. It's about 2 hours from us, mm-hmm. I think. And it's Charlie Chaplin has been through there.
Oh, there's a whole book.
First female serial killer.
Bertha Gifford first. Well, she was supposedly the first female serial killer, but there's speculation on that. But she killed a lot of children, and she killed a lot of her husbands. And I mean, this place is really active, and it's really cool. And this will be, I think, our fourth time there. So we're going back this year, sometime late, probably late summer. Early fall.
We just talked to the group that runs Bobby Mackey's. Have you guys been down there yet?
I would love to go to Bobby Mackey's, but we haven't been there yet.
We haven't had time to put it on the list.
Maybe 2017.
Yeah.
That's the Southwest vacation. No, Southeast.
Yeah.
We are next weekend. We're going, we can't say too many details, but we're going scouting for a couple locations.
Yeah.
Next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to tell anybody where we're at. It's kind of like, we'll check these places out and then book them for later in the year, and then we'll let you know what we end up doing. We don't like to say anything until we know for sure we're doing it.
Yeah.
We are also having a Christmas party this year. Well, we have a Christmas party every year.
We have Nashville this year, too. We're going to the hospital in Nashville.
That's right. The Old South Pittsburgh
Old South hospital. Pittsburgh Hospital in Nashville. I'm really excited.
That's in May, right?
June?
I don't see. July.
Something.
Anyway, we have a Christmas party every year, and we usually go all out, and we kind of go out and drink and have a good time, but this year we were thinking of doing it at the Lent Mansion. We haven't actually scheduled it yet, but we're thinking of doing an investigation at the Lent Mansion and having a little bit of a Christmas party at the beginning of the night and then kind of ending the night with an investigation, you know, until the wee hours of the morning.
We'll be at SilCon in August.
Oh, yeah, SilCon. That's in
We Illinois. Have two or three things just about every month, whether it's in Investigation, a convention, or like an interview. So.
Yeah.
Cool. So where can people find all this stuff? What's your main website and your Twitter handle and all that?
The main website is the number three, don't spell it out, 3girlsinthedark.com. And that would be the same for all social media. It'd be Facebook would be 3girlsinthedark.com, or not .com, 3girlsinthedark. Twitter would be 3girlsinthedark, number three. Instagram is a little bit more complicated. The weirdo over here set it up with underscores, so there's like, you know, but if you search 3girlsinthedark, you'll be able to find it.
Yeah.
It's hard with all the handles being different. Ours is like that, too. Like, it kind of can't be the same unless it's like five letters. I don't know.
Periscope now. We have Periscope. We have
YouTube. YouTube would be the number 3girlsinthedark.
We have Periscope all social numbers. Just about all social.
Yeah, if you can think of a platform, we're on it. Yeah.
What are you doing on Periscope?
Oh, we Periscope our investigations.
Oh, okay.
So basically, we actually just did a Periscope this past weekend at the residential location we were at, and we had the whole family watching on Periscope. They were like, you guys are awesome, you know, whenever.
Oh, you were getting all the little hearts on your Periscope.
Yeah, we did. We had that. And we Periscoped at Maliska, too, for a little bit. So some of our fans and followers want to see us in action live. And
we don't do it all night because your cell phone can mess with some equipment. But we take a time, like, we'll take a time frame and say, okay, we're here, we're doing this. Like, we're going to do an EVP session. You guys can check it out, and we'll let Periscope roll while we're, so people can kind of see how we work and how we do things.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. Well, thanks to you so much with everything going on, adding us to your schedule, too.
Yeah, definitely.
You think maybe next time you guys would be a little bit more excited about the interview? That would be great.
I think we're shy.
Kind of shy. I don't really know what happened.
Yeah.
A lot less editing for Dan next time.
We'll play a lot of music. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks, guys. Have a great night.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Dead Tribe Paranormal.
Grant Mimpic. Hello, world. You're listening.